was on my heart, Romans chapter number 2, starting at verse number 11, read a few verses of scripture here. For there is no respect of persons with God.
Right.
For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law.
Yeah.
And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
Yes.
For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these things, having not the law, are a law unto themselves.
Right, right.
Really, verse number 15 is where I want to get down to. Some of you are thinking, well, what's he going to tonight? which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Listen, their conscience also bearing witness.
Yes.
And their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel.
Yep.
Amen. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men. Hallelujah. Amen. If the Lord would help us for just a few moments here tonight, I'd like to preach on the greatest preacher who ever lived.
Yes.
The greatest preacher who ever lived.
Yes,
amen.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Who is the greatest preacher that ever lived? Well, amen. We could open up a can of worms there. Amen. We have history will tell us that D.L. Moody was a great preacher. Oral Roberts of the past.
Yeah.
The Billy Grahams of the past. The John Wesley's of the past. Amen. I read where George Whitefield preached to 20,000 people nearly every time he opened up his Bible and preached nearly 20,000 people. That was a big crowd, wasn't it? Charles Finney preached with such a conviction that it is said that 90% of the people that prayed under Finney's ministry went on to serve God for the rest of their life. Praise God. He preached with such fervency and such conviction. Amen. Charles Finney was a great preacher. Hallelujah. Amen. Billy Sunday, amen, was a mighty preacher. Blazed that old sawdust trail after getting saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Being a drunkard, being an ex-baseball player. But God used him, amen, to set ablaze a trail. Hallelujah. Every church is searching for that perfect preacher. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You will be interested to know that after hundreds of years, the model preacher has been found to suit everybody.
Yeah.
He preaches exactly 20 minutes. I'm not too far from that. And then he sits down. He condemns sin, but he never hurts anybody's feelings. He works from 8 in the morning to 10 at night in every type of work, from preaching all the way to taxi service. Amen. He makes just a few $100s a week. But he wears good clothes and he buys good books and he has a nice family. He drives a good car and he gives half of what he makes back to the church.
Yeah.
He also stands ready to contribute to every good work that comes along. He is 26 years old, but he's been preaching for 30 years. He is tall and he is short. He's thin. He's heavy set. He's plain looking, but he's handsome. Amen. He has one brown eye, one blue eye, hair parted in the middle, left side straight and dark. Amen. The other side's wavy and blonde. He has a burning desire to work with teenagers, but yet he spends all of his time with the old folks. He smiles all the time with a straight face because he has a sense of humor that keeps him seriously dedicated to his work. He makes 15 calls a day to church members, and he spends the rest of his time evangelizing the unchurched and is never out of his office. Praise God. He is truly a remarkable person. He is the perfect preacher, and he does not exist. Oh, but the preacher I'm talking about tonight exists, the greatest preacher.
Yes, he does.
Amen. Woo. Whoever lived. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The hands of God in whom there is no fault at all. Amen. I submit to you here tonight that the greatest preacher in history, and that you have heard him preach many times. Woo.
Yeah.
His pulpit, amen, has been the world. He preached in the opening chapter of the human history, and will continue preaching all the way up until eternity. He is ageless. His speaking ability will outlast, amen, the Rocky Mountains. He has never played favorites. He ministers with an unprejudiced outlook. Great God, his first sermon was preached in the Garden of Eden. Cain heard his cries in the night after Abel's blood was spilled on the ground. Jacob heard his voice constantly. David shook, amen, when he heard the voice of this great preacher. Judas wilted under his message, and Pilate could not withstand the pressure of this great preacher. And he is still preaching more fervently and with more anointing than ever before. When every other preacher has returned to the dust, this monarch of the pulpit will be stronger than ever. Hey God, I submit to you that he is the greatest preacher who has ever lived. Amen. You ask me here tonight, Brother Jason, who is this preacher that you're talking about? I'm talking about what Paul calls in this 15th verse of the second chapter of Romans. Amen. The preacher of conscience. Amen. Hey God, his congregation has included every person who has ever walked upon planet Earth. Amen. Since his pulpit has been the world, every man has heard the message of old man conscience. Amen. You can walk past the open door of the church, but you'll never walk past conscience. Woo. Amen. Hey, God in heaven. Amen. Oh, yes, he will follow you to the office. He'll follow you to the school. He'll follow you to the factory. He'll follow you to the field. He'll follow you to the, amen, forest. Great God, he'll follow you to the sea. The astronauts found him upon the moon. And I said he's absolutely inescapable. And the preacher I'm talking about tonight, his conscience, amen. When most other ministers have preached their ultimate capacity, they need to rest and lay down and rest a while. But conscience keeps on going. Day and night, he keeps preaching. Thank God, not for just an hour or two. Michelle can tell you I'm still a young man. But after I preach, hey, I know it looks easy up here. But 30 minutes of straining and sweating and groaning and spitting. Thank God, I got to go home and rest a while. Amen. It wears me out. Hallelujah. But all conscience is going to keep on preaching. When I lay down the night to rest, and I go home and wash this sweaty, amen, so off, and I got to kick back in the easy chair and rest a while, conscience will just be getting started. Tonight at midnight, conscience is going to go with every man, woman, boy, and girl, and still be reaching and still be preaching. Hey, God, every hour, every week of every month, every year in your life, conscience will follow you. Amen. More than anybody else, Adam knew the terrible wages of sin.
Yes, he did.
Praise God. Amen. Adam and Eve had lost paradise. They had been kicked out of the garden. Amen. Can you imagine living in paradise? Can you imagine living in the Garden of Eden? Great God. I tell you, me and Charlie piled up a little piece of ground right down below his house. Had this, but not even a block past Charlie's house, a vacant lot down there. We piled up a garden there for the first time this year. And I tell you, amen, usually Charlie's my persistent one, but he's been laid up sick. I hadn't had a whole lot of time to tend with it and work on it, but I plowed that garden up. But I'd never been plowed up, or at least not for several years that I know of. An old man told me he plowed it up several years ago, but I plowed it up. Brother Tom, the weeds come back. I plowed it up again. The weeds come back. So about the third time I plowed it up, Brother Gene, and I thought, hey, great God, I think this is good. So we planted some corn and beans, and about a week or two, when the beans and corn start popping up, the weeds start popping up with it. And I thought, I'm never going to get ahead of these weeds. Thank God, Adam and Eve, they didn't have to do that. I mean, a pretty stole corn and beans, watermelons, tomatoes, you name it, cucumbers, hallelujah, hey, avocados, I mean, there they grew in that paradise. Adam and Eve was in that paradise. And if anybody knew the wages of sin, it was Adam and Eve. Thank God. And can you imagine after Adam and Eve fell, amen, and was kicked out of paradise, and Cain and Abel came along in the evening time when they burned the fire and they sit around after their evening meal, sit outside by the fire. I believe Adam talked to them boys and said, boys, whatever you do, amen, you don't want to sin against God. Amen, it'll work on your mind. Conscience will never let a hold on. We can be living in paradise, but now we're working for our food. Now we're cooking it on the fire. Thank God we could still be in paradise. His conscience was still working on him. Hey, but Adam could never get through to his sons.
Yeah. Cain killed Abel.
Yeah. Woo! Great God. Cain slew his brother. And let me tell you something. Cain's conscience tracked him down ruthlessly. His message buffeted, amen, his mind mercilessly until Cain finally, amen, fell to the ground in Genesis 4:13. And he cried, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What was he saying? I'll never get away from my conscience. I'll never get away from my brother's face. His blood cried from the ground. Conscience, you'll never outrun it. That preacher, when he's laying down at night, after he gave it everything he had, you'll not outrun the conscience. Hey, I said, you'll not outrun, amen, God's conscience that he's given unto a man. Hey, God, amen, allow the Holy Ghost for just a moment to take our mind back several thousand years, hey, to the prime minister down in Egypt. His name was Joseph. He was an amazing man. Hey, look at Joseph. Here he was. His brothers sold him into slavery. He ended up down in Egypt. Amen. And then he went from Egypt to the dungeon because Potiphar's wife accused him of sin that he had never did. And Joseph landed in the dungeon. But thank God, God, after a matter of time, brought him out of the dungeon and set him up to be prime minister of the most powerful nation upon the earth at this time. Hey, God. But guess what happened? Joseph's dream came true. Or his interpretation, rather, of the dream came true. That he interpreted of 7 good years and 7 years of famine, so they stored up. Guess what happened? It had been about 13 long years, but conscience had never left his brethren. Hey, what happened? A famine drove them down to Egypt. They heard that somewhere down in Egypt was some corn and some provisions to make it with, and they landed down in Egypt, and there Joseph was. He's not the same man he used to be. They didn't recognize him. Hey, they was in his presence, and he was putting the pressure on them, and they began, guess what? Conscience, amen, they never lost it 13 years, but they never lost their conscience. One brother looked at the other, said it was your fault to get rid of him, and the other brother looked at the other one, said, no, it wasn't, it was yours. And they begin to fight among themselves because they can never get past their conscience of what they had did to their brother. Hey, I come to tell you tonight, you'll never outrun your conscience. You'll never go so far that you'll forget about it. Hey, I said he's the greatest preacher who's ever lived.
Oh, yes, God. Yes.
Woo! What about Saul? Amen.
Oh, Lord.
As a great prophet, one of the greatest prophets, in my opinion, they're all great. But Samuel was a great prophet.
Yes, he was.
Look at the power that Samuel had.
Right. Woo!
Amen. Samuel prophesied. Samuel preached. Samuel talked to Saul multiple times, but he could not reach the king of Israel. He couldn't do it. He had preached his heart out. Amen. Saul, God demands You'd obey greater than sacrifice. Amen. Oh, yes. But his message fell on deaf ears. Saul just wasn't interested in Samuel's sermons anymore. But guess what, Saul? Amen. You can try to run from the old prophet, but you'll not run from your conscience. What happened to Saul? His conscience drove him mad. He became demon-possessed. He went down to the witch of Endor. Great God, tried to call old dead Samuel's body again. But great God, I come to tell the church, you can put off the sermons. I don't know why I'm preaching this way tonight. We had a good service. I'm going to preach on anyway. Hey, amen. Let me tell you something, Saul. You might turn a deaf ear to Samuel. You might try to run to the end of the earth. You might try to run a kingdom without God. But hey, it won't be long. Your conscience is going to get the best of you.
Down in Gilgal,
oh God,
his conscience got the best of him, and we find a bloody field with a king laying who pierced his own heart through with a sword.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh. Woo! David! The old prophet Nathan pointed his finger at David. I love this. I need Psalms 51, 1 through 3. Amen. Woo! Amen. Nathan come down to David. Amen. And told him about the poor man who had one little lamb. Remember that? Great God. And he said, David, this poor man had one little lamb, and the rich man took his lamb. David's indignation rose up, and he said, this man, great God, shall surely suffer the consequences of his deeds. Hey. Until Nathan turned it around and said, David, thou art the man. Hey, God. But here's what I love about David. Somebody often said that David's sin was probably greater than Saul's. I don't know. You could debate that. You could argue that. David did sin, a terrible sin. But here's the difference between Saul and David. Saul kept on ignoring conscience. Saul kept on going in his own ways, leading the kingdom in his own hands. But thank God when Nathan said, David, you're the man that has caused sin to come into the land. You're the man. You're the guilty party. Here is what separates David. And here, I believe, is why God called David a man after his own heart. Tell us, Brother Tommy, what David said in Psalms 51 and verse number 1 through 3. Here's what made David a great man.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies.
Yeah.
Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity.
Praise God.
And cleanse me from my sin.
Woo.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
David said, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David said, hey, I heard conscience. Conscience got a hold on me. But I'm not going to try to outrun it. I'm not going to try to do it on my own. Lord, I can't do nothing without you. David was saying, God, I can't run the kingdom without you. Hey, let me tell you something. You'll never outrun your conscience.
Woo!
Right, come on.
Just as Peter wept on the hillsides of Zion and caused Judas, amen, conscience did. Conscience, amen.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Conscience got a hold of Judas.
Yes.
Great God, what Judas do? It was more than he could bear. Great God, and Judas put a rope around his neck, and the Bible said that he hung himself. Oh, it was a terrible thing. You'll never outrun your conscience. Oh, amen. History, and I'm not saying the Bible, but I read someplace where history said that after Pilate betrayed, amen, turned Jesus over, after his wife said, amen, I suffered many things in a dream. Don't have anything to do with it. He's a just man. He's a godly man. He's a good man. But old Pilate went on ahead and let the crowd have what they wanted. Amen. And he ended up allowing Jesus to, he could have put a stop to it. We know it wasn't the will of the Father, but Pilate could have put a stop to it, but he allowed it to go. go on. But oh, history says, amen, that Pilate could never get that off his conscience. He could never get it off his mind. They said Pilate lost his mind. He could be found out in the streams, bent down, washing his hands. They said all he ever done was washed his hands. And they said he washed his hands, and he would look down, and there would still be blood stains. And he would wash it. It drove him crazy. Let me tell you something. That's why it pays to live a godly life. That's why it pays, amen, to live for God and to shun evil, because you don't ever outrun your conscience.
Oh, God. That's the way with conscience. He makes life on this earth torment.
That's right.
He drives men to distraction. Conscience is filling mental homes. Amen. Stuffing bodies into coffins well before their time. Conscience will drive all joy out of your life.
Right.
Yes. Amen. And wring the hope out from your future.
Yes.
My Lord. Whew.
I don't know. You don't have to raise and show hands if you've been in them. I've been in them. I had to do about a 6-week rotation in nursing school, and I was telling them boys the other day, we were driving by Mildred Mitchell up there on the hill at Old Timers College State Hospital. I've been in there for about 6 weeks. That was enough for me. Woo! Great God in heaven. And people walk right dead in the middle of that hall, up and down in floors, chants, crazy chants and talks, and some of them would just quote scriptures, Brother Tom, scripture after scripture. Hey, man, you know why? Conscience. They couldn't get that conscience. Hey, man, they couldn't lose a hold of that. Oh, God. He's inescapable. Conscience is indestructible. This universe of ours is scheduled, amen, for a deep, unmarked grave in the dim recesses of space. Hey God, but your conscience, it's everlasting. It will coexist, listen to me, with your never dying soul. Hey, this earth will stop one day, but your conscience, it'll follow you into eternity. When you spend your last hours on this earth, you will hear his voice. When you stand before God in eternity, you will hear the voice of a conscience. You say, well, I'm going to stand there before God, and I'm going to tell him this and this. You'll not do such a thing. Your conscience, hey God, you'll not get away from him, even on judgment day.
God, never get away from
you. Ever. Somebody said, well, what if I end up in hell? Your conscience will be in hell.
Lord.
Setting up his pulpit to preach to the damned. His text will be, son, remember. You can almost see him now tormenting Judas. Judas, you had 3 years to make up your mind. You carried the money. You was the money changer for the Lord. Judas! You kissed the doorstep of heaven and went to hell.
Oh God.
Let me tell you something, church. Conscience, Judas went and hung a rope around his neck, but he never outran his conscience. It's still luring on him right now. His conscience is still eating on him in eternity. I come to tell us, you'll never outrun it.
Amen. Come on.
God.
Woo!
Oh, God.
Peter, James, John, they're in glory now. They're with Jesus, Judas. Wow, you're in the flames of hell.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Amen. Listen to conscience. Preach to Saul. You had the throne, Saul. You was king of Israel. God gave you an anointing. You had a chance to be eternally great. But remember, Saul, you rather do things your way instead of obeying God.
Oh,
hallelujah. Remember, Saul? Remember? Oh, son, remember. Conscience remembers.
Yeah.
Hitler? He'll remember in judgment.
Yeah.
Napoleon? He'll remember in judgment. Hey, God. Do I see you there with a conscience? Yes, you're going to be in eternity with a conscience. Amen. Conscience will be preaching about this sermon and every other sermon you've ever heard. God, reminding you of your parents' prayers, reminding you, amen, of the burden, of the plea, of the pastor, amen, of the preacher that preached and cried and called. Your conscience has been given to you to lead you to Jesus and to keep your life in line with God.
Oh, God.
You can run away from the church and duck in a dark alley. See, people don't know what preachers go through. I've seen people that sit right here in these seats, and I see them out. They turn their, you know, and they don't come here no more. They turn their head and walk somewhere away. They don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
You don't have to talk to me.
Come on.
But you'll not get by conscience that easy.
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Amen.
Jesus.
You can run away from the church, but you can't run away from conscience.
No. Right.
You don't have to listen to anybody. No, you don't. Turn around. You'll see conscience. It's still there.
Yep.
Just like a shadow. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
Somebody help me up here on this piano tonight. Jesus is the only one who can turn that conscience around. Jesus can turn conscience around from a pursuer to the friend.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
One man said conscience is like a wolverine. I almost forgot it. You might know what a wolverine is?
Yeah.
It's one of the deadliest, I forget the word they use for it, most determined animal known to man.
Yeah.
Can't get enough to eat. They said a wolverine will get a scent of a deer or his prey that he's seeking. He'll get a scent of that, and he goes at a steady pace. He does not tire. He's relentless. He does not give up. He does not tire out until he sinks his teeth in the jugular vein of his prey. That's what conscience is. Steadily after. I'm so glad, Brother Anthony. I knelt down in an altar of prayer one day, and Jesus turned that conscience from a pursuer to my friend. Hallelujah. Woo! Great God in heaven. I ain't going to leave you stranded here today. Amen. Jesus can turn it around. Amen. He's the only way of escape. Jesus offers you mercy. He offers us forgiveness. He is the way of eternal life. Great God in heaven. Your conscience, amen, is striving to bring us to Jesus. You consider him your tormentor, but thank God, really, your conscience is your greatest friend.
You're right.
Amen. Come on.
Stand with me in this house tonight. I don't know why I preach. You know, preachers don't always know why they preach what they preach.
No.
Especially after service like we had, I was a little reluctant to even preach this. This is what I had on my heart back there.
Come on.
Amen. Oh, God. Let your conscience be your friend and not your enemy.
Right.
I've seen a lot of people run from the Lord and go run headlong, do what they want to do. Let me tell you something. If you think they're having a good time, there's Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season.
Yeah.
And that season runs out.
Yeah.
And then guess what? Conscience gets a hold of you.
Yeah.
We've used him a lot lately. What happened to the prodigal, Bo Gene? I'll tell you what happened to him. He spent all his money, spent all that he had. His friends left him. The laughter was gone. The bright lights in the town was put out. He was left in a hog pen in hunger.
God.
But his conscience began to eat on him. And he said, son, when you was back home, you had it made.
Holy God.
I'm talking about a friend. In this case, conscience was a friend. He said, hey, when you was back at daddy's house, how many hired servants had he? How much bread and enough to spare did dad have?
Yeah.
Praise God. And he remembered, and he said, I think I'll go back home.
Thank you.
Don't let your conscience be your pursuer, but let him be your friend. Amen. Amen. Bow your head right here as they begin to play, Lord. Amen. Once again, God, I don't really know who I'm preaching to right now, but I know this. I need to lay this on my heart. I sure appreciate this body of believers you've given us, Lord. They braved this virus, this pandemic that's out, Lord, to come here tonight. We've had a wonderful service. I felt the Holy Ghost in this house to help and strengthen. Lord, maybe there's one right now. I don't know that they ran out, did what they want to do right now, or maybe they're looking, maybe they're thinking. God, help them to know their conscience will never let them out. Hallelujah. Lord, would you grip somebody's heart right now? Right now, Lord, grip somebody's heart. Come on, church, come on. Let's find us a place to pray. Let's find us a place to call out to God. God, I want to be your friend. Come on, come on, come on.
A woman barely 20, been out there on her own. A teenage boy in prison before he's even grown.
There's power in on a couple of times.
Yeah.